Thank you so much.
Very good. Yeah, this is the whole thing. All right, good. All right, let's start out with a word of prayer this morning. Brother Mark, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you very much. Johnny, back this off just a little bit. Thanks. All right. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and 48. Just hold there for one second. I want to read one more verse to you. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, we went over this last set of lessons that we had talking about a giving membership. And I want to read this to you before we get into what we're talking about today in the lessons, okay? That is Luke verse 6:46. Why don't we stand? We'll read all three of these while we're standing.
Where are they at, Mom?
Right here.
Are they the right?
He brought you the whole thing.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not my father.
Right.
Okay.
We'll be fine.
Okey-dokey.
Okay. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. The Bible says, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Why do you call him Lord and do not the things that he says? And then if you look over Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 46. I love this verse, one of my favorite verses in the scripture. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the time that we have together to study your word, to look into these verses, Lord, and hopefully to prick our hearts to do better for you. Lord, I don't believe there's a person in this room that would say that they've done everything that they can for you. I certainly am one of those people. There's so many more things I can do for you. Lord, help us. Help us to change our thoughts and our attitudes towards our service to you into more of a service attitude. Lord, please help us today. Get with us today. Lord, walk down these aisles and talk to people and let them know that you're here today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is one subject that I honestly need to be in a pew and not behind the pulpit for this one. I need to learn myself. So how about we make this a team effort? I will teach, but I'll be teaching myself at the same time. Is that okay with you? I'll be talking to myself at the same time. I'll be preaching to myself at the same time. A lot of preachers have no problem telling you how great they are, how many things they do for the Lord. I'm more along the lines of I don't do near enough for the Lord. I don't even come close to scratching the surface of what we can do for the Lord. And I'd like to talk to you in these next few weeks about a witnessing membership, somebody that tells people about the Lord. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in a atmosphere where that's what you're going to do that day, or an atmosphere of where you're absolutely going out to soul win that day. We were doing it on Thursdays, we're doing it on Saturdays, but you don't have to have a designated day where you go soul winning. This should be a thing that you go through in your mind of where you want to tell people about your Savior. You want to talk about Him. He's on your mind all the time. You go into a place looking to tell people about Him, because what has He done for you? That's the great question you have to ask yourself. How often does Christ do things for us? How often does He show Himself as a great God for us? Yet we have so hard of a time telling people about the great things He has done. Fact is, what happens, we get into this lifestyle where we have to have everything for ourselves. I told you about this when we were talking about a giving membership, where we literally never worry about the things that we have. We always worry about that what we don't have. Amen? We always have our eyes on things that we don't have, not things that we do have. If you're a saved person in here today, do you realize that this is not your eternal home? If you're a saved person here today, you realize when you're 6 feet under, you'll be in eternity above? Do you realize that as a saved person, no matter what state you're in, no matter where you're at spiritually, if you're a saved person and you died today, you would go to heaven forever and be with Christ forever? Now, I know we go through a lot of bad things, and we do a lot of things that get our focus all on different things. But you know what? When I get to face the Lord, I hear a lot of people, a lot of preachers always say, I can't wait to hear well done. I'm scared to death, I'll not. And you ought to be too. See, I'm preaching to me today too. See, what you got to understand is this. We've got a Savior that loves us and died for us. And if you read these verses, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. It behooved Christ to suffer. It behooved Christ to suffer. Do you realize he sat in heaven and he didn't come up to the Heavenly Father and say, I guess I'll go. He didn't come up to the Heavenly Father and say, well, since there's no one else. He didn't come up to the Heavenly Father and say, could there be someone else? He came up to the Heavenly Father and said, I want to go. I desire to go. I want to go for the dirty, rotten scum of that earth down there. I love them with all my heart. See, in my opinion, I don't want to be browbeaten. I don't want to be sad or say, well, bless God, you must. That's not how Christ came. Christ didn't come because you must, although he had to for us. But this verse tells me it behooved him to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He was excited to come. He was excited to go for us. He said, Lord, I'll go. I want to go. If there's no other reason, at all to tell people about our Savior, that is certainly more than good enough. Because he desired to die for you. And understand this. He didn't desire to die for the righteous. He didn't desire to die for the good people. He desired to die for you. And I told you those things because there is none in this room righteous, no, not one. There is none good, no, not one. You might say, well, man, that just seems like, that's just not good. It's so disconcerting to know that there's none good. It makes me happy to know that there's none good because that means I can. Because if there's none good, we all start at the same playing field. If there's none good, we all start right here. And if we'd be honest with ourselves and look into our lives, we would say, there is none good. No, not one. And yet it behooved Christ to suffer for you. And that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. We've lost a lot of this. Just quickly, let me show you what it says here. And that repentance... You know, repentance is something that's not getting preached anymore. Do you know why repentance isn't being preached anymore, Brother Carl? Because sinfulness isn't being preached anymore. What's there to repent of? Churches all across America don't have to worry about repenting of their sins because they have none. We're all good. Yes, everyone. There's none good. No, not one. See, the Lord didn't die for the righteous people. That would make his sacrifice not as great. His sacrifice was the perfect sacrifice. It was a wonderful sacrifice. It was a great sacrifice. And what happened is this, and this is a word we're going to use a lot while we're talking about this, because this is a word that plagues me when it comes to this, is commitment. I heard Dr. Gray tell me one thing, the greatest aspect of soul winning is commitment. That's one area I have faltered greatly. And I'm just bearing myself to you. I've had no problem starting to go soul winning. Starting to take those first steps out to knock on doors. And it's not just knocking on doors. Don't misread that. That is a great aspect, but that's not the only aspect. It's an attitude change. It really is an attitude change. If you will be part of a soul winning program if your attitude changes towards telling people about Christ. Every day. It's not something that you do just 10 minutes. It's every day. It's something that your prayer life has to become a prayer life, not a prayer minute. Your giving life has to become a giving life, not a giving minute. When I have it in my hands, that's when I'm going to give it. A Christian life, and this is something great that I've learned doing this, preacher, a Christian life is something that is actually a life. It is actually something that you desperately try and desire to live. And if you don't live it, Brother Mike, I got to believe if you don't live this life, it tears your heart out. You look at Lot. You look at Lot. And by the way, we haven't even got past the title page yet, so don't panic. If you look at Lot, Lot lived in a place where he did not serve the Lord. Now listen, I want you to hear this. It wasn't Sodom and Gomorrah's fault that he didn't serve Christ. You need to listen to me now. It's not America's fault that we don't serve Christ. It's not this wicked place's fault that we don't serve Christ. It's not the fault of the judges that are taking down the Ten Commandments off the walls that we don't serve Christ. It's not the fault of anything out there that we don't serve Christ. It's not the fault of pornography or of homosexuality or all these other things that we talk about all the time. It's not those faults that we don't serve Christ. It's the fault of ourselves that we don't serve Christ. It's our fault. There's only one person you can look to, and that's the guy in the mirror, that you don't serve Christ. Lot lived in a place where he didn't serve Christ, and what happened to his soul? It was vexed daily. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't want you to raise your hand, but I got to believe that there's days in our lives where our soul, our righteous soul, your saved soul, that's not your fault that it's saved, by the way, it's Christ, and he's holding on to you, you're not holding on to him. But that righteous soul, that spirit inside of you that Christ has put there, desires to serve him. Now, your flesh desires to not, because in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. We know that. So you're in a battle. And if you took the Romans class, you'll learn that there's a battle. And that battle is inside your flesh. And your flesh desires to not serve God. Your spirit desires to serve God. That's why I love Paul so much. Because Paul talks to us all the time about how wretched he is. And how much he realizes, man, the things that I would do, those I do not. The things that I do not, those are the things that I do. I constantly live this battle and the flesh is tearing me apart. And every time I take a step, it tears me apart because I don't know how to serve Christ. Yet he realized, too, that Christ died for that guy. That guy that battles inside his flesh and his righteous soul is vexed. That guy, Christ loves, too. Now, there are people that don't have a desire to serve Christ. I worry about them because I worry that they're not a saved person, that inside of them, they should have a desire to. Even if they don't serve Christ, even if they don't actually get up and do it, I have a very worry about that person because you should have something inside of you that is vexed when you don't. I'm just going to be honest with you. And you should live in a state of mind saying, man, I want to do something for God. And I got to believe that every person in this room right now, under the sound of my voice, would say to me, there is a day that I want to serve Christ. There's times that I want to serve him. There's a desire in my heart to serve him. Now, you may not get that job done, but the desire is there. The problem is we've got to turn the desire into duty. We've got to turn the desire into desiring to do something and actually doing it. So we live in this struggle. And in my opinion, the hardest thing to do is to spread the gospel by your mouth. The hardest thing to do, because the devil hates that, and your flesh knows that, and your flesh desires to bang against you about this, and we look at this and say, and that repentance and remission of sin, repentance isn't easy to preach. When you're going out and soul winning, you're talking to people about the Lord, you can't skip over repentance to get them saved. You can't. A lot of preachers will tell you, well, don't tell them about repentance. Don't tell them about their sinful condition. Just tell them that you need to accept the Lord as your Savior. That's not how you get saved. You get saved because you have the realization that you need a Savior. You get saved because you come to the realization that you're going to hell unless you accept Him. You've got to come to the realization that it's more than just a commitment that you make to each other. Soul winning starts with repentance. When you're talking to somebody, soul winning obviously starts with you going. I mean, that's the greatest thing. That's the area that I fail into most. I'm not an expert standing up here today. I just know what the Bible says. And I know that when I go out to talk to somebody, and maybe that's why I'm not as successful as some, I don't know. But when I have a hard time explaining to them that they're a sinner and they need the Lord as their Savior. I never forget talking to my buddy Brian. Never forget that. And he didn't have any problem swallowing that. Yeah, I know I'm a sinner. That's the hardest thing that we've got to convey to people, is that they have a need of a Savior. Why did he come? See, you've got to have repentance before you can have remission. And that's something that's hard for people to understand. that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now, I've got to believe that those are the notes right there, right?
That's the first page.
Okay. Well, let's move on to that first page. Let's move on to that first page. Help me out, gentlemen. Thank you. We will not get through this first page. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29 while we're passing these out. Absolutely. Proverbs chapter 29. Probably the biggest reason that a Christian does not tell other people about Christ is because they're afraid. Probably the biggest reason, all honesty. It's not that you don't want to do it. It's an uncomfortable thing to tell people about. And if you ask people that are unsaved about Christ, 9 times out of 10, they're uncomfortable too. What happens is and I think this is one of our greatest faults. We would rather read about it. We would rather study it. We would rather do all these different things except pray about it. As Christian people, we talk a lot, but we pray a little. And a lot of things can be fixed in your life if you would pray about some of the things that we have trouble with. Now, listen, the Lord has commanded us to go. The Lord has also told us that he won't give us anything that we are not able to handle. He won't give us any temptation above what we can handle. So he's given us those things. He's given us the command to go. We know we've had the command to go, but one of the greatest things is, well, I am afraid to tell people about Christ because it's so uncomfortable. You've got to go back then to the verse that we just read. It behooved Christ to suffer. There was suffering in what Christ did. Even though he desired to do it, there was suffering. When you're telling people about Christ, you may suffer, although, come on, suffering, seriously, is that what we consider suffering? I mean, we look at it, that's just suffering. Ah, here I come out again, it's suffering. We talk about that as suffering, but understand this, we've got to get to a point where we pray and ask God, hey, Lord, please take this away from me. And if you look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, look at what it says. The fear of man bringeth a snare. And that snare will keep you home on your couch. And that snare will keep you home doing other things. And that snare will hold on to you and hold you in a place where you ought not stay. I'm not talking about Saturdays and Thursdays. I'm talking about every day of your life, talking about Jesus Christ. Do you pray ever to say, Lord, please send somebody in my path today? Lord, please send somebody that's ready to hear in my path today. One of the most discouraging things about soul winning for me, and I had a great meeting one night with Mike Porter. Mike Porter is a tremendous soul winner. And I had a meeting with him one night, and I said, man, I get so discouraged because every time we come to these meetings in the mornings, I tell you guys are rattling the drums, rattling the cages. I got 3, I got 5, I got 4. I come in every time, I got 4 doors slammed in my face. I got 2 doors slammed in my face. I got 2 people yelling at me. It was weeks and weeks and weeks and nobody got saved. Obviously, who do you look at? It's obviously your problem. The question came into my mind then, are you praying before you go out to have success? And I'm not talking success for me, because one thing that sickens me more than anything else is people that brag about how many souls that they get. That sickens me. I don't care what you say. I've talked to a lot of people that say, well, we win millions to Christ. That bothers me. Because what happens is this, we'll get into discipleship later, because I believe discipleship is our greatest fault in the Baptist church. Winning somebody to Christ is great. We put in the bullet, but then we don't bring him to church. Right. Here, let me show you a success story real quick. And I don't even know his whole testimony. I just know it's a success story. A success story is Bob Edwards right here. Now you might say, well, he's nobody. He just got pulled over this morning for going 75 coming to church. And he got a ticket, by the way. No seatbelt, an open container. And no, I'm just kidding. He had no seatbelt. He was coming to church, although he was coming to church to drive to get on the bus. He was speeding, so he was on time for the bus. He didn't make it, did he, Freddie? A little late. Here's a success story. Brother Porter led you to Christ, right?
Well,
he was already saved. She got led to Christ, but here they are, in church, plugged in, doing something for Christ. In my opinion, that is the one soul. That's the soul that was won. That was a soul that was won to Christ and now is doing something for Christ and also is telling other people about that testimony of doing something for Christ. See, I love the fact that a lot of folks will go out, and I love the fact that we'll go out and beat on the doors, and I love the fact that we'll do that, but the problem is the porch is not the end of the soul being won. That may be hard to hear, but that's the way it is. The soul being won is when they plug in and become reproducers. Dr. Hiles always said, you're reproducing reproducers. That's what the Bible teaches us, is that we're supposed to reproduce reproducers. We've got to get them into the church house, so we've got to plug them into the Lord's Word. Hey, I've had people come to my door, and I've listened to what they say. But I'm not going to their church. I don't care about what they had to say to me. I just listened to them what they had to say, just to get them off my porch. Now, we have to go out with a different attitude of what we're doing. We have to go out with a different attitude on what we need to be doing. We worry about man doing something, but that worry about what those adults or those people, when we go to their doors, we worry about what they'll do, but understand this, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Dave Yost was telling me a story yesterday. They went out to that trailer park across from Walmart, and there was a couple that were fighting their heads off. And because they were fighting, none of the people wanted to go up to the house. Would you? Well, apparently Eddie and Jeannie didn't realize these people were fighting, and they went into the house. You know what's funny? The people turned out to be Baptist. They turned out to be somebody that just moved here, and they were looking for a church.
Amen.
And it turned out to be a great visit, 20 minutes long. See, the fear of man bringeth a snare. They were afraid to go, so it brought a snare that kept them from going to that house. That's the snare that holds me a lot. I'm glad I'm the only one, okay? That's the snare that holds me a lot, because I'm afraid. I get the people that, I'll come to the door and they'll open it about this far, and you'll see one eyeball. Who are you? My name is Pastor David Ballard from Beth Baptist. That's the doors I usually get. But when you talk to these preachers, our biggest mistake is commitment mistakes. See, we'll let three or four of those stop us from going. We'll let three or four of those, and those are hard. To sit there and think that that's not hard, to see somebody smack the door in your face and get off my property, that's not easy to see. But it's a commitment of continuing to go. That's where I trip all the time. I trip because I just get discouraged so fast. I feel that if I come to the door, they should be happy to see me. Apparently, I need to go to the house with a box of candy. They open it easier for a Reese cup than they do a preaching. But what happens is I stop. And who gets the victory? See, that's what you got to realize. When we stop doing what the Lord commands us to do, who gets the victory? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not that which I say? He says to go. He didn't say go if it's convenient or go when it's comfortable. Now understand, I'm preaching to me. I'm going to get this tape and listen to it myself. Because I have no trouble starting things. No trouble with that. Ask my wife about our house. Carl, I'm glad you laughed because you got the same problem. I know. You start things, but finishing and continuing to stay in the course is sometimes difficult in a big fight for you, for your flesh, to battle every single day. And that's why, in all honesty, we should have tracks on us all the time. We should have them on us. I got candy envelopes. Here, candy envelope. I got all kinds of candy envelopes. People bringing me money today. That's great. I'm glad. But you should have tracks on you all the time, because soul winning can be anywhere at any time. Is that how we look at it, though? That's the question. Is that how we look at it? Do we have a desire to have people know the same thing that you know? Do we have a desire to have the people get the same gift that you were given? Do we have a desire to see people snatched from hell? Do we have a desire to see that soul that is sin-sick find a great love in Christ? Do we have a desire to have our church pews filled with people that were lost? Do we have a desire to go out and tell people about our precious Savior? Do we have that desire? You may have that desire. Do you turn the desire into duty? Look at Psalm 56. Wow, that was quick. In verse 1, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." These four verses are saying, Brother Dave, quit being a chicken. Hey, Brother Dave, the fellow that told you about Christ, was he afraid? The fellow that told you about Christ, that introduced Christ to you, was he afraid? Was he somebody that was afraid to go and tell people about the wonderful Savior that gave him the precious gift of eternal life? Was he afraid? Because he wasn't afraid. My friend was not afraid to tell me, and at the time I was saved. How sad is that? But believe me, folks, there's people out there, and I believe this with all my heart. There's people out there that desire to hear about Christ. There are. But we won't go close the deal. We won't put our feet to what Christ has tried to tell us to do in our spirit, in our heart. Now, we can say that there's things that come in from every side, and there's things that come in from behind, and there's things that stop us, that there's things that hold us back. But it really is a commitment issue. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I look across this room and I see people that make it to their jobs every day. I see people that make it to their jobs, and you need to make money. Don't quit your job. Please don't quit your job. If you've got a job, praise the Lord. But we have no trouble committing to the things that we want to commit to, that our flesh wants to commit to. When is the last time you let your spirit have your commitment? The spirit that's in you, that you're saved and the Lord lives in you. When's the last time you let him have some of your time? And I'm not talking just one day a week. I'm talking when you go out, you desire to see people saved. You desire to warn them. You desire to help them. You desire to tell them. When is the last time? And I'm not preaching to you as I am one that does this. I'm preaching to you as one that needs to. Brother Dave, we've heard it all before. I'm so thankful that every time you heard it the first time, you changed right away. I'm so thankful when the Lord told you to do something, you just went ahead right away and did it. I'm so thankful that you were those kind of people. Baptist preachers are really hard-headed. They are. Thank God. We need to do what Christ tells us to do. We need to go out and tell people about him. Why in the world don't we have a full Sunday school? It must be because the teacher's not that great. I can agree. But I've got to be honest with you. I wonder, have we brought somebody to hear about Christ? Have we desired to have somebody come in that's a guest of yours? Well, I can't come in because, you know, well, my Sunday school teacher's really not that great, and I'm really kind of embarrassed to show people. Well, okay, but Christ has me here. I think Christ can speak to people. So that's really not the snare. The snare is not the church. The snare, because this is an awesome church. That's not the snare. The snare is not, well, we don't have enough ministries here. That's certainly not the snare. The snare is certainly not that we don't do the right things here, because we hold on to this Bible as a pure word of God. We do the right things. We preach out of this Bible. We teach out of this Bible. We got all the ministers that we can have. Certainly that's not the problem. Where's the problem then? You've got it. It's right here. Now, are we too good to bring people here? I don't think that's ever the problem. Are we too busy? Maybe. But I think we do what we want to do. It's amazing how we're so busy. I like this. We're so busy. I'm one that says that all the time. So busy. But when Wade and Chrissy called me with Loge tickets to the Cleveland Indians game that day, guess what I did? I'm so happy that I'm the only one like that in this room. See, what happens is this. We have all the time in the world for what we want to do. I can't come to church on Sunday school time because I am busy. Doing what? I can't stay to church in the night service, glory to God, because I got too much going on. I understand that this world is busy, but you do what you want to do. We can't go out sowing because we got too much going on. Because you do what you want to do. Brother Dave, you do what you want to do. Brother Dave, you do what you want to do. Brother Dave, what do you want to do? I'm glad it's quiet in here. The question you have to ask yourself, do you want to see people go to heaven? Do you want to see people go to hell? If those are the two questions, then it's got to be about you. What is your duty? Is our duty to go out and tell people about Christ? Our duty is not to win them. Our duty is to tell them. Our duty is to warn them. There's so many millions of things that we need to do for Christ. But folks, really, if we can get Christ on our mind all the time, to where he is forefront in what we're thinking about, to where he's forefront in what we're doing, I promise you, you will spend more time soul winning than you really think that you will. Because he's going to be always on your mind, and you're always going to be one to tell people about him. If you had $10,000 worth of gold in your pocket, you couldn't, well, you probably wouldn't tell people about that, but you'd let people know that you were a wealthy person. Hey, let me tell you something. We've been made rich through Christ. Do we want to tell people about Christ? Do you want to do it? Because we do what we want to do. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not that which I say? Dear Lord, I thank you for this Sunday school time. Lord, I thank you so much for, again, working on my heart. Lord, I just don't know how many times you're going to have to work me over, Lord, before I start doing something for you. Lord, be with me in a special way. Lord, help me. I'm begging you to help me. I know I'm undone. Lord, I know that. I know I'm holy. I'm so full of holes, I'm like a sponge. But Lord, a sponge sure does soak up that water that he desires to hear from. And Lord, I desire to hear from you. Help me, Lord, to keep you more on my mind every day, all day. A soul-winning life, not a soul-winning day. Lord, that's what I desire. Help me. Help me, Lord, to come closer to you and to get closer to that. Lord, be with us. We apologize. I guarantee every person in this room is saying this. We apologize for not doing that what you've told us to do. Lord, help us to start doing that what you've told us to do. Lord, you're such a great God. For you to desire to suffer for us is ridiculous. It's ridiculous that you would die for such a wicked and undone generation. But Lord, thank you. Thank you for dying anyhow. Lord, you're so wonderful. I cannot wait to be in heaven someday to tell you just how wonderful you are. Lord, please be with us today. Get a hold of this church service. Speak through my preacher today. Lord, anoint him from on high. Give him great power today. And Lord, give us power throughout the week. As a group, give us power to go out and tell people about you. Lord, prick our hearts to go out and tell people about you. Let us not leave this church without tracts in our hands that we can go tell people about you. Let us not leave this work, Lord, without a desire in our heart to do our duty to tell people about you. Let us not leave this work today without a commitment in our hearts that we're going to do it and keep on doing it. Lord, no matter if we show fruit or not, no matter if something happens or not, Lord, we're just going to keep on doing it. No matter what, we're going to keep on doing it. Lord, be with us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.